Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna So I'm very happy to be in the house of Vanamali Krishna Prabhu and Kadambini Radha Mataji in Radha Shamsundar Temple. We had met in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Radha Shamsundar, and here we are again meeting. Very methodical in his working, we can see he's got everything prepared, the whole timetable and schedule. It just needed a Bhakti Rasamrit Swami to come and upset the schedule. But yes, this is what devotee association is meant to be, for coming together and hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is actually the most important activity for mankind, for everyone. There is nothing more important than coming together and hearing and chanting about Krishna, about God. In the outside world, two people are doing the same thing, but they are talking about mundane subjects. As the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Ranam Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. The people in the outside world have sahasrashaha, hundreds of topics to speak about, mundane topics. And because they do not have any understanding of spiritual truths, they don't see them, apashyatam atma tattvam. So their consciousness is absorbed completely in worldly matters. Grihamedhi, they are called Grihamedhi. The difference between a Grihastha and a Grihamedhi is that a Grihamedhi, while staying at home, is completely absorbed in the Griha or the home. Medha, Medha is intelligence. And his intelligence or his inclinations, his consciousness is completely absorbed just in the home and things connected to the home. In other words, worldly matters. He has not much interest in spiritual life. There may be a token interest in religious life, but even then that would be as a token, as a formality, or perhaps for the purpose of attaining some worldly objective. But it is not truly speaking something really spiritual. They are more interested in sense gratification, subtle and gross. The Grihastha, on the other hand, is also staying in the Griha. So both are staying in the Griha or in the home, but for one, his mind is absorbed in worldly life, and for the other, he is taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore it is called the Grihastha Ashram. It is not called the Grihamedhi Ashram. It is only called the Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha and Ashram. So that situation in which one takes ashraya or shelter of the Lord while staying in the griha or in the home is called the Grihastha Ashram. So interestingly, the four stages of spiritual development in the Vedic system are all called ashrams. Brahmachari Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram, and Sannyas Ashram. In other words, in all the four stages of life, in terms of spiritual development, one is supposed to be living in an ashram. So it's not only that brahmacharis or sannyasis live in the ashram. Even the grihasthas are supposed to live in an ashram because the very home is an ashram. So this is the Vedic philosophy. So the devotees of the Lord, even while staying at home, want to make their house, want to make their home Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. And therefore, like Vanamali Krishna Prabhu and Kadambani Radha Mataji have done, they have invited all the devotees and we are hearing and chanting about Krishna. As the Srimad Bhagavatam says again, Nivritta Tarshay Rupigiyamanad Bhavaushadat Shrotramanobhiramad Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanu Vadat Puman Virjeta Vinapashuknad. Parikshit Maharaj is making a very important point here. Krishna Katha is the greatest remedy for all maladies, for all sicknesses, for all the problems of this world. The greatest panacea, the greatest medicine. The greatest illness, according to Parikshit Maharaj, is Bhava Roga. Bhava, this material world is called Bhava. In Sanskrit, the word Bhava means to become. So the disease of this world is that you become. What do you become? You become diseased. You become old. You become dead. You become born again. So this is Bhava Roga. Roga means disease. The disease where you're constantly becoming. You're not stable and steady in your situation. You're not living eternal life. You're always becoming something. So this state of constantly becoming old and dead and diseased and so on is called Bhava. So this Bhava Roga is the most dangerous disease. Normally, people are afraid about poison, right? In Sanskrit, the word poison is called Visha. When you take Vish or poison, then this body is destroyed and you die. But there is a more dangerous poison than Visha, and that is called Vishaya. Vishaya means the objects of sense gratification. So when you take poison, then you just lose one body. But when you take the poison called Vishaya, or sense gratification, then you are forced to remain in the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lives. In other words, you destroy millions of your bodies. So which is more dangerous, Visha or Vishaya? Vishaya. So sense gratification, which is born out of ignorance, that is a cause of us to lose millions of bodies and to stay here in this bhava and suffer from this bhava roga, this deadly disease. And it is because we are constantly accepting bodies that we have so much suffering in this world. So the source of suffering is our material body, and the source of the material body is forgetfulness of Krishna. So naturally, therefore, the remedy to all our sufferings is to remember Krishna by the process of hearing and chanting about Him. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, Bhava Aushadha Shrotra Manopiraman. Bhava Aushadha. Aushadha means the medicine. So this hearing and chanting about Krishna is a perfect medicine that can destroy the great disease of material existence. And who can take it? Nivritta Tarshair. Samantarshair Trishna, whose thirst for material enjoyment has been destroyed. Someone who doesn't hanker for the Vishaya, for the objects of sense gratification. Then for such a person, he or she is now eligible for taking this medicine. But this medicine is so nice that even if someone does have this thirst, still it works. And it purifies one from the very desire, from the very thirst for sense enjoyment. Nivritta tarishair upigiyamanat bhavaushada shrotramanobhiramat. And initially, when we start hearing Krishna Katha, we may not have such a taste for it. We may start, for example, feeling sleepy in the class, we may start feeling bored, and we may not be interested. The moment we sit in the class, we nod off to sleep. Or when we open a book, then we may nod off to sleep. So this may be there. But when we get the taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we are always happy in the process. So gradually as we go along, then we begin to like the process more and more. It appears to get sweeter and sweeter. So the problem is not with Krishna Katha, but the problem is with our consciousness, that we don't have enough attraction for Krishna Katha. But as we hear Krishna Katha, that itself is a solution. Hearing more of Krishna Katha makes you more attracted to Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a patient of jaundice who is recommended to take sugarcane juice. A patient who has jaundice tastes everything as being bitter. Even something that is sweet tastes bitter to a person who has jaundice. So the problem is not in the sweet substance that the patient is tasting. The problem is in his tongue or in his body, which has the disease. But then the only solution to jaundice is to take sugarcane juice. There's no other medicine. And if you keep on taking sugarcane juice, even though it may taste bitter in the beginning, it will eventually become sweeter and sweeter. The bitterness will go down as we continue to take sugarcane juice. And as the disease goes down, then one begins to regain one's original normal taste. Then the original taste of the sugarcane can be perceived by the tongue and the mind. Then we start thinking, oh yes, the sugarcane juice is actually not bitter. Now it's actually quite sweet. And then the more you taste it, and the more you move towards normalcy, the more the sweetness seems to increase. Actually, the sugarcane sweetness has always been there. But it's just that because the patient was suffering from jaundice, he could not perceive that sweetness. So similarly, Krishna Katha, the holy name of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna, they're always sweet, but because we are in a spiritually jaundiced condition, so we are not able to taste it, not able to understand it. However, gradually by hearing and chanting about Krishna, our attraction for this process increases step by step. Abhirama, manaha abhirama, one something that is very pleasing to the mind and to the heart. Bhava aushadha, shrotra manaha, to the ears as well as to the mind. This process of Krishna consciousness becomes very pleasing. Ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat, puman. So who is that person who will not accept this process, who will not hear Krishna Katha? Viman Puman Virajyeta Vina Pashupnad. Unless there is someone who is a very cruel person, who is an animal killer, Pashupnad. Gna means to destroy or kill, and Pashu means an animal. So Pashugna refers to an animal killer, a meat eater, or someone who is very, very cruel by nature. Because meat eating involves cruelty, isn't it? It's not enough to say that I'm not killing the animal, but someone is killing the animal for you to eat. And if you didn't buy it from the market, there wouldn't be a need for someone to kill. But because you are going to the market and asking for it and eating it, so somebody is doing it for you. So the eater and the killer, the transporter, the cook, all are implicated. So generally speaking, a meat eating makes the heart hard. You know, there are four principles of dharma. Which are the four principles of dharma? Does anyone remember? First canto Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our fundamental teachings. Austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy. And there are four activities that destroy these four pillars of religion, of dharma. So what destroys austerity? Yes, but what causes laziness? Yes, but specifically, what are the four sinful activities? Intoxication. Intoxication destroys austerity. Have you seen a drunk man performing austerities? Is it possible for a person who is drunk to do any tapasya or austerity? Not possible. So austerity is destroyed by intoxication. What is it that destroys cleanliness? Illicit sex destroys cleanliness internally and externally, both ways. What destroys truthfulness?
Gambling
and any form of speculative enterprise. It destroys truthfulness. And then what's the fourth one?
Mercy.
What destroys mercy? Meat eating. So therefore, a person who is a meat eater cannot become merciful, cannot become kind, cannot become compassionate for a long time. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is saying here that a meat eater or someone who's very cruel, only such a person will not take pleasure in hearing and chanting about Krishna. In other words, all cultured people, civilized people should hear and chant about Krishna. And even if someone is not cultured or civilized, that person should try to come to Krishna consciousness in this way and take the ultimate medicine. Yasyam vaishru yamanayam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate punsaha shokamoha bhayapaha. This beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam explains that when we hear and chant about Krishna, shruyamanayam, for one who hears about Krishna, who is the paramapurusha, who is the supreme personality, bhaktir utpadyate punsaha, that bhakti arises in the heart. And with the arising of bhakti in the heart, what happens? Shoka, which means lamentation, moha, which means illusion, and bhaya, which means fear. Apaha, they are destroyed, they are sent away to a distant place from the heart. So one becomes free from these three things as bhakti rises in the heart, just by the process of hearing about Krishna. So it is so powerful. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote the Krishna book. It is one of his first books, one of his early books. after he finished the first two cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and a few other small books, he actually wrote the Krishna book. One reason for that was that he was apprehensive that being a very old man, he might not live long enough to complete the 10th canto, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, including the 11th and 12th. And actually his fears were well founded, because he didn't live beyond translating the 10th canto up to the 13th chapter. I think it was the 13th. Then after that, his disciples continued the task. So he wanted to finish the Krishna book, which is a summarized form of the 10th canto, in narrative form, without the actual verses. And also he wanted to give people an opportunity to hear about Krishna as early as possible. So this Krishna book is very important for us. So when we read these pastimes on a regular basis, the heart gets purified and we start becoming attracted to Krishna. And it can change the heart even of the most sinful people. There is a story of this one thief who came to the association of devotees. He didn't come to hear about Krishna. He came to steal. And he was hearing the speaker discussing something about Krishna. And he had not heard of Krishna before. But the speaker was describing someone who was very beautiful, who had long curly hair, who was wearing a golden colored dhoti, and he had the Kaustub jewel, which is very priceless, and he had the Vaidurya money, which is also very priceless, and he had all these wonderful things with him which were very expensive. And naturally this thief's interest became awakened. Ah, this seems to be a good candidate for me to steal from. And then he was thinking, but how do I identify who this person is? Let me hear about him, so that the more I hear about him, when I go there, I'll be able to identify him. So then he heard with great attention, and he kept on repeating in his mind so he wouldn't forget. It's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. The name is Krishna. He lives in Vrindavan, Vrindavan. He kept repeating the name. And what does he look like? He has eyes like lotus petals. And he kept on hearing the descriptions and tried to memorize it. And he was feverishly repeating it to himself so that he shouldn't forget. And then when the lecture was over, he couldn't wait to rush out to Vrindavan. And then he went out after the lecture was over. And in those days, you didn't have flights and railway trains, so you had to walk. So he was walking and walking along, asking people the way to Vrindavan, and everyone was, okay, this way, this way. He was going on. And all the while he was constantly repeating all the descriptions and narrations that he had heard about Krishna. His name, his pastimes, his form, and so many things. So he was constantly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Even though his motive was to go and steal. But then he went up. Eventually he reached Vrindavan. And then he was asking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I wish we could also all have that eagerness, yes? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then he came to Krishna. And he said, yes, this must be Krishna. Correct, there's no doubt about it. This is Krishna. The same description. Everything is perfect. And when he looked at Krishna, he became so attracted that he lost all his desire to steal. And he looked at the beautiful form of Krishna and he went to him and said, not for the sake of stealing, but because he wanted to go and talk anyway and just have some conversation. So will you give me this valuable jewel that you have? Or will you give me this nice bracelet that you have? No, 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 my mother Yashoda will be angry with me and she will scold me. Come on, come on, you can give me something. So in this way they were talking and he was engaged. But now he was talking to him and asking him to give the jewel, not because he wanted the jewel, but just because he was so feeling so nice talking to Krishna. He just wanted to be with Krishna all the time. And his heart was completely transformed and he became a devotee. Actually, there is a story of this dacoit who actually did like this, also a true story. He actually went to Vrindavan like that. He was quite a fierce dacoit, notorious dacoit in his time. And even in more recent times, when Prabhupada came to our Bombay temple in Juhu, he was giving class, and there was one thief, one person who came there to steal, because he knew there would be many Westerners there and many other people may come who are rich and they all have these nice wristwatches and all these other things. Maybe they have a lot of dollars and pounds to steal. So he went there and he was looking, the first time he came to the temple, and he was looking around for good candidates. And then he was thinking, yeah, I will steal from this one and that one. And then Prabhupada was giving class. And he had to pretend that he was hearing class. So he was sitting there and he actually heard the class. And he was so impressed that he changed his mind. And after the class, he went up to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, actually I'm a thief. And I came here to steal. But after hearing your class and looking at the form of Krishna, I've lost my desire to steal. Now I want to be a devotee. So Prabhupada directed him to, I think it was Giriraj Maharaj, he was a brahmachari at that time. Either Giriraj Maharaj or somebody else, I don't remember. And then he became a devotee. And eventually he took initiation from Prabhupada. And he's still a devotee. Yes, this is a true story. So similarly, we are all thieves in this world till we realize that Krishna is the owner of everything. Nothing belongs to us. When we think that this belongs to me, then I'm a thief. Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says the same thing. Stena eva saha. He says that in relation to the demigods, because the demigods are his representatives. So anyone who believes that this is mine is a thief. And anyone who understands that everything belongs to Krishna, my family, my home, my money, my body, my mind, everything belongs to Krishna. That is true knowledge. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed, Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor arpiluntu apade nanda kishor. He says, my mind, my body, my family are all offered to you, my dear Krishna. Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor, whatever is mine, arpiluntu apade, I am now offering to your lotus feet, nanda kishor. O youthful personality of the son of Nanda, I offer these things at your lotus feet. So this is Krishna consciousness. To have this conception and the consciousness that everything is Krishna's property, I have to use everything in Krishna's service, including my mind, my intelligence, my abilities, my money, my family, my body. Everything has to be used for Krishna's service. And the primary process, therefore, is we have to come and hear and chant about Lord Krishna. That's all. You don't have to go to the Himalayas or whatever the mountains in Australia. I don't know if you have mountains except in Sydney. Wherever. You don't have to go to the desert. You don't have to perform all kinds of severe physical austerities. Just come into the association of devotees and hear and chant. That's all. Such a simple process. The perfect medicine for all problems, for all time to come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. And there's one more medicine that's connected to Krishna. And it's time to take that medicine. So I should not be coming in the way of taking this wonderful medicine, which is Krishna Prasadam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful talk. I hope all of us have imbibed the word named Krishna and his energy is into our hearts and minds, as I started off with saying before. And thank you very much for this wonderful Krishna talk.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you for this nice arrangement here. Yes, indeed, I will. I will tell him. In fact, I met him just before I came, because we were in some meetings together, and he was remembering you.
We will be having Mahaprasad now, so that will be the one to do.